Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider have he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he's become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Verse 9. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Verse 11, who is like unto thee, O Lord among the gods, who is like thee, glorious and holy, fearful in praises, doing wonders. May the Lord bless this portion from his word. And what's before me this afternoon for just a little while is a very lovely portion of the Word of God. And yet it's a portion that has a demand upon each one of us as the children of God. You know, as I was thinking about this portion during the week, wondering what the Lord would lay upon our hearts, my heart was, and my mind was, brought to this portion of the Word of God, a very simple portion, and yet I think a very important portion. It's something for all the people of God, for young ones and older ones. Chapter 15 is a new beginning for the people of Israel. They have been brought out of Egypt. They have been brought out from under the penalty of sin. They treasured the blood of the Lamb. And we know in that same chapter of Exodus chapter 12, they were commanded to have unleavened bread. So not only from the penalty of sin, but they were to be separated from sin, no leaven. And then in chapter 13, we find there's a chapter of sanctification, set apart for God. It's in that same chapter that we have the firstborn brought to us, and God said, it is mine. It belongs to me. They belong to me. And you know the story, as they have been brought out of Egypt for 3 days, and then finally they are brought through the Red Sea on redemption ground. And then we here have the wonderful subject of dedication. I will. I will. And this struck my heart, dear saints of God. For you know, the will of you and me is very important. I would say the most important. We speak about the heart, and then we point to this heart that we have working in here, but I believe it's the will, it's that which is in our brain, it's that which controls our mind, our hearts, our everything. Sometimes we hear it say that we are the Christians that we want to be. And you know how important it is in the day in which we are living, that there is the desire and the determination in our hearts that, like the people of Israel with Moses, unto whom they were baptized, identified with Moses, and together they sang this new song, I will. You know, there is somebody else that said, I will. And although his power is broken, yet his presence is still here. And dear saints of God, if there is not the determination in your and mine heart to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ and have a desire to follow him, listen, there is one who has said, I will pursue. He had said, I will overtake. He said, I will divide the spoil. You know something that struck me while I read this? He said, I will destroy them. You know the word destroy, that I will repossess them. And you know we have an enemy. And although he cannot get our souls, because our souls have been saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus, but he loves to repossess. He would love to get into the lives of God's people, into your life and my life, and spoil our lives for the Lord Jesus. He would do his utmost, and we're living in time, dear saints of God, that he is succeeding more than ever before. Many of the lives of God's people, those that have professed faith in Christ, and where are they today? I could take you weeping tonight. Weeping two places, two persons that were once active and a help in God's assembly. And you know where they're tonight? I would be ashamed of saying so. Satan says, I will repossess. I will repossess. I will spoil their lives. And so tonight, this afternoon, we would like to impress upon the heart of every child of God this inward desire, this determination, as Moses and the people of God, as they stood on redemption ground. The Red Sea was behind them. The horse and the rider were drawn into the sea. And they could say, the Lord has triumphantly, gloriously. We've heard something yesterday about this same Lord who not only went to the cross of Calvary, but he has triumphed gloriously. He's been raised by the mighty power of God, and he has been seated on God's right hand, and we linked with him in glory. Remember, we have a real Paul. Remember how Peter writes that, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh around, seeking who he may devour, whom resist steadfastly in the faith. We were reminded this week already by the words of James chapter 1, where our brother reminded us, receive with meekness the engrafted word. That's what we need in these times of difficulties. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. It's able to save your soul. It's able to save your life. And there's very many examples in the Word of God. Dear saints of God, and we as the people of God, there must be the determination, the desire to let the Lord to be the Lord first in our lives. And this is what we see in this beautiful portion of the Word of God, the I will of the Christian. Someone asked some of the girls in the Sunday school class, where doesn't God live? Where is a place where God can't live? And one of the little girls said, in a divided heart. You know, the Lord Jesus, he not only saved it, but he loves to dwell in the hearts of a Christian. But I'm afraid often our hearts are divided. Divided by two things in our lives. It's not all out for the Lord Jesus, and we experience little of the presence of God in our life. And so we find in this portion, remember how the Lord said unto Simon, we've been reminded of that already, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. My, how important, dear saints, to realize Satan says, I will repossess. And so in this portion of the Word of God, we have the solution for that which would draw us away. And we are able, in the power of God, to follow the Lord Jesus and experience His blessing. The will of the believer is very important. This will, dear saints of God, can either go one way or another way. That's why it is so needful for afternoons and days of conferences like that we are in. So important to be under the Word of God and to be instructed in the things of God. And we've been mentioning, we've heard it mentioned, that the desire of the Lord and the desire of the saints and the brethren is that these conference meetings might reach our heart and have a practical working in our lives as the people of God. I will. Remember that happy day in your life's experience? When the claims of God were brought before you as a lost, guilty sinner. And there came that happy moment when you yielded yourself. Your will was broken. And you trusted Christ as your Savior. Yesterday we have been reminded of this lovely picture in the Old Testament, where this young lady who for the first time, when she saw the servant of Abram coming with that great message, he was a servant seeking a bride for the son of the master. And we've been hearing how these beautiful things were exposed and shown unto her. And no doubt, the very behavior of the servant. And the results in her life were so great that when she had to make that all-important choice, we hear these words from Rebecca. Wilt thou go with this man? I will. I will. And we hear and we see this in the Word of God. Remember Isaiah? We read of Isaiah when he, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he saw something of the glory of the Lord. And then he saw something of the cross of the Lord, the altar. And the result was, when the voice came, who shall I send and whom shall go before me? Then he could say, here am I, send me. Isn't that the choice that we have to make? Again and again, dear saints of God, the choice to follow the Lord Jesus, to be used for His glory, whether in our daily life, whether in our school life, whether at our work, there must be that determination to say, Lord, here am I, again and again. Because if we don't, you know, there is another one who says, I will. And his desire is to mar the testimonies of God's people and the testimonies of the assembly. We read of Barnabas in the New Testament. When he saw the grace of God, he was glad. And so are we. But then he encouraged them, he admonished them that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. That's the only safe place. The first thing that we need, I will, Lord, I will follow thee. The I will of the Christian is so important. Not only for our salvation to get saved, there must be the brokenness of the will, but in our service, in our daily life, as the people of God. And sometimes we have to pay a price for that. I know there is people in this gathering here, and the very reason that they said, I will follow thee. Not follow thee, and I'll do this first. Like we read in the Gospels, no, I will follow thee. And they had to pay a price for it. I remember the story of this dear girl who got saved while boarding in London, away from her ungodly home. She was brought under the sound of the Gospel, and she was reached and saved. She wrote the message home. And she wrote to her father and mother that the Lord saved her. And she got a letter back very quickly with the message. You don't want anything to do with your religion. You come home right away and we'll straighten you out. This young lady, she went home in fear. The moment she stepped into the home, there was her father. He said, you can make up your mind. If you go on with your religion, this is the last time you're in this home. Otherwise, you just forget about it. Forget about your religion and you're welcome home. This girl had a sleepless night. As she went upstairs, she couldn't hardly sleep, and the next morning she came down with her suitcase. She looked around, there was nobody there. She went to the piano, and she started to play. And she started to sing, Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee, destitute, despised, forsaken. Thou from thence may all, my all must be, perish every found ambition. All I have sought and hoped and known, yet how rich is my condition. God and Christ are still my own. She says, I will go. That's what the people of Israel sang. Moses and the people of Israel, they sang unto the Lord. And the first thing that we read, I will sing, speaks to us, dear saints, of redemption and rejoicing. I will sing. That's the first song in the Bible. For the great choir. Sometimes we read or we have these records with choirs, 1,000, 2,000 and more, but here was a choir. Perhaps a 600,000 choir. The greatest choir that was ever up on earth. There'd be a greater choir in heaven. Oh yes, we read in Revelation as this great choir by the sea of glass. Here's the sea. The Red Sea on earth, but there would be in heaven the sea of glass, and they sang that wonderful song of Moses and the Lamb, songs of redemption. How is it with our song? Are we still singing Christmas? Is our mind and our heart still occupied with that lovely man, the Lord Jesus Christ? I think, you know, often the Christians are not singing the way they used to sing. Perhaps there is not the joy in our hearts anymore as there used to be. Perhaps there are other things that have taken up the interest of our life and we've lost our song. Here it is, I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord. That's what David experienced. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. A pit of noise. A horrible pit. A pit of noise. That's what the world is today. If David could have listened today, he'd describe it different again. Oh, the pit of noise where the people live in today. He says, He brought me up out of this horrible pit. And He says, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, He established my going, and He put a new song into my mouth. I will sing unto the Lord. Redemption. Rejoicing. That's what necessary is necessary for the people of God. You know what? That's what Nehemiah said. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And if the joy of the Lord is not there anymore, then the Lord is not at home anymore. You know, in Holland they have the palace of the Queen of Holland. And if you want to know whether the Queen is living at home, you'd have to look at the roof and see of the flag whether the flag is there. The flag is a sign that the Queen is at home. And I think, dear saints of God, the joy of the Lord is a sign that our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, is at home. He's living in the joy of the hearts of the people of God. Isn't that what Ephesians says? That Christ might live in your heart. Not only that we might give Him a place, some place in our lives, and the rest be used for ourselves, our own interests. And He's got a place way down someplace. No. Living in our hearts by faith. That brings rejoicing. Here were people and they were delivered. They were brought up out of the awful sorrows of Egypt. That's all they knew in Egypt, sorrow. Ah, but now they put a new song. It's the first song in the Bible. I will sing unto the Lord. So may we as the people of God realize that we have a reason to sing. A reason to sing. Some of the ancient lyric poets from German, they often had love singers. Why? Because that was the subject of their songs. Then we have some more love singers amongst us. My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. My rock and my fortress, my surety divine. Dear saints of God, this is what the Lord wants us to be. This is not harsh. This is not difficult language. This is something in the reach of all God's people that will make our heart rejoice. I will sing unto the Lord, and that's necessary if we want to do and be anything for the Lord. Because the next thing we read, that not only does He say, I will sing unto the Lord, but He says, I will prepare. I will prepare Him a habitation. You know, that's the desire of every child of God. God had never lived upon this earth. Never yet had He come down. The tabernacle was His first habitation. First time that God dwelt amongst men. And Moses never heard of a tabernacle, but God was in Moses' heart. I will sing unto the Lord. I will prepare Him an habitation. I would want this Lord to dwell upon earth. And so He did. And so He did. Moses had the great privilege of building an habitation, a dwelling place for the Lord. I will sing. We must be happy Christians. We must be living in the enjoyment of our spiritual life. The Lord has triumphantly, He is gloriously triumphantly overthrown the enemy. He's delivered us from the foe, and we have brought on redemption ground our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one to whom we have been identified. I will sing. I will prepare. You know that the tabernacle was the first place where the Lord dwelt upon earth. What a wonderful place. Make me a tabernacle, the Lord said later on, so I might dwell amongst you, the living God, dwelling amongst His people. And you would only have to study the tabernacle. Only have to study the tabernacle. And you'll experience experience a joy which you've never known before, because it speaks of Christ. And I've often said, the closer we come to the very, very habitation of God, the greater the enjoyment will be of His presence. Oh, dear saints of God, what a privilege to be preparing the tabernacle. Later on, the tabernacle was ended and the temple was erected. And we find that again, the Lord Jesus, He became the habitation of God, the indwelling, the divine Word of God, the very dwelling place of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And later on we read in the scriptures that the Christian himself, herself, is the very dwelling place of God, the assembly. And so the dwelling place of God, how important it is that God is willing and wanting to dwell upon earth. And I would just like to end there. I'm afraid that otherwise we won't have much time for our brethren. But here we find, dear saints of God, there is the personal aspect of the dwelling place. Are you willing? Are you willing to prepare your body to be a dwelling place of God? Are you willing to do that? Are you saying today, my body belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ? I have been bought with a great price. I am His. And I want to prepare my body to be the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a great and hallowed privilege? What are you doing with your body? Are you, dear saints of God, do you realize that you've been bought with a great price? Are we giving Him that place in our lives so that He's able to dwell in us without being hindered? Without being without being hindered. And so may we, as the people of God, realize, you know, there's many of God's people don't realize that. Remember, the apostle had to say to the Corinthians, I believe something like 14 times, what know ye not? And sometimes we wonder at the behavior of the people of God, what they can do, what they can read, where they can look at, the places where they can go. And we would say this afternoon, what know you not? That your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. How can you allow it? And you disappoint the Holy Spirit? You know, you sometimes wonder why you're down so often. Why you're not enjoying the presence of the Lord. Why Satan seems to attack you so many times. You don't seem to rise above your circumstances. Let me tell you, dear saints of God, if you're saved this afternoon, you belong to Him. Your body is the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. What do you do with your body? You can either encourage it or you can discourage it. Are you saying tonight, this afternoon, I will prepare Him in dwelling place. I want the Lord to live within my soul and to enjoy it. I want to live in the enjoyment and the presence of God. And that's what the Lord would want you to realize. Know you not? And He says in 1 Corinthians 6, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You know, we hear it so often. I do what I want to do. But a child of God can never do this. Oh, learn to yield your life. Learn to say, oh Lord, I will prepare Thee a dwelling place. You know, I was looking at the tabernacle. And the tabernacle, you know, there was preparation for the tabernacle. But the time came when they yielded all what they had prepared for. They yielded it unto God. And that's exactly what Romans chapter 12 says, yield your body. There came a time in the tabernacle that God claimed all that. He covered the tent with the cloud. He said, it's all mine. It belongs to mine. The people were willing to give, willing to prepare. But it came the time when they give it all, and the Lord says, it's mine. And you know, when your tabernacle, whether that is your personal life or your assembly life, when the Lord is able to claim that and fill it with His glory, then man will have little ways. The flesh will have a little, will have no victory over us. And that's why the Lord would want us to say, I will. I will. And the same with us as assemblies being God's dwelling place. Our bodies are God's dwelling place. The assembly is God's dwelling place upon earth. You know, it's the only place where God dwells in the midst of His people. It's godly ground. The rest is the ground of Satan. Around us is the ground of Satan. It belongs to Satan. It's the world. But you know, we read that the assembly is God's ground here in this world. You know, a believer who had sinned in the Corinthian assembly, he was put on Satan's ground, but outside of the assembly. But here is God's ground, where God is in the midst of His people. He claims it for His own. Are we prepared to let God have His way, have His will in the assembly? Do you say, Lord, it might not be according to my feelings, but if this is what I say, you know, I had to move against my feelings many times, especially when it came to assembly truth. And today I'm very thankful and very happy for those that used wisdom and taught me the word of God against my feelings. But you know, there came a time that I would say, both me and my wife, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Are we willing to say that? They said, Lord, I will sing. Lord, I will prepare thee a habitation. And they ended with the saying, Lord, I will exalt thee. Oh, that's a wonderful place. To worship the Lord, you know. That's a wonderful place to exalt the Lord. I remember the first time we were invited to come and sit back in the South Main Street Gospel Hall. And as I sat back and I saw the great sight for the first time, I had been used to other things. But you know, when I saw the great sight and I heard simple and learned people together, and they were exalting, they were worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, they were worshiping the Father for His Son. Oh, I felt nearer to heaven than I've ever been before. Oh, dear saints of God, I will exalt Him. That's not just saying little prayers or testimony. Exalting Him is giving Him the place that is due unto His name. Due unto Himself, the praise that He deserves in the hearts and in the companies of His people. I will exalt Him. May the Lord bless us, and may the Lord help us to have this determination of heart to say with Moses and the people of Israel, I will sing. I will prepare Him an habitation, and I will exalt Him. Say the Lord.